member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to BTBN's NBA podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Andrew Reach. I'm joined by my other co-host, Adam Murray. How you doing? I've kind of fished through some of the more of the off-season stuff while the playoffs are going on.
We just had the let's all go home, who cares, depressing situations. None of us are going to get better. And
yeah. I mean, well, you know, we do this.
We should get rid of divisions. We should just have the top 16 teams because everybody goods out west and everybody sucks as out east. And
Well, the other problem is that the teams, like, remember, there was a stretch there where the Pacific Division with the Lakers, the Suns, and I'm missing another one here out in that the division. But this was before the Warriors really took off. And even the Clippers, like, they were pretty good, you know. And another one, obviously, was the Southwest. Like, the Southwest with the Spurs, the Rockets, the then New Orleans Hornets, the Memphis Grizzlies. Like, they were always good. Like, they are in the Dallas Mavericks. Like, they were always good. So, like, the divisional standings influencing the seeding was what the big deal was there. But, you know, it's always – there's always ebbs and flows. I don't think it's as, like, bad as it was in the early 2000s when the West was just so much better than the East, like, in totality. You know, I don't think it's that bad anymore.
That's – it's – things, you know, everything evens out eventually and – soon enough, in theory, the East will start to dominate.
Well, did you feel some fluidity this season with it, where the West got a little weaker, the East got a little better, or did you feel like it was kind of a little more of the same?
Well, there's, you know, the West has the super high top, where you have the top three teams, and all of a sudden, after that, it was just a lot of mediocrity, and you're like, well, you know, the 8 seed... Portland, no, they're not any good. And even, you know, Clippers are a 5 seed. It's just like, well, they're not that good. And Utah, well, they're up and coming, but they're not dominant. That's a 4 seed's not a...
Yeah. A lot of youth in this conference, too, which is kind of rare. A lot of times the Western Conference teams are the more experienced, slower teams, or more experienced teams. I'll take that back. There are a lot of fast-paced teams out in the West
Coast. They're the ones that stole all the max contracts from the East. Uh-huh. And it was the big arms race of the West, and all of a sudden now they're all too old and
they're going into their rebuilds. Yeah. Well, I don't want, like, let's just go ahead and get started with the first one, because we're going alphabetical order based on the name of the city. We're going to start here with the Dallas Mavericks. Like, this is a really good example of what you're talking about, just to kind of ease our way into it. Do you feel like they're kind of in a soft reboot mode?
They're in a lucky reboot mode. Because we all, you know, they panicked by giving Barnes a max deal, even though, you know, they sort of didn't have a choice but to give somebody a max deal. He panned out well. You fleeced Philly for Nerlens Noel. You know, hopefully he could stay healthy, but just giving up 2 second-round picks for him. Because remember, the beginning of the year, this team had Bogut and Deron Williams, and they were just an old team, and all of a sudden they managed to get youthful in the middle of the season, which never really happens.
Well, they fell into a lot of luck with the Yogi Ferrell signing out of the D-League. He had originally been with the Nets, had a shot there. Then the Mavs picked him up, and he just turned out to be a very nice rookie, you know, right out of nowhere. Had one tremendous game, I think, where he had like 8 lead 3-pointers. Seth Curry, Steph's brother. We knew that was actually a pretty good signing out of Sacramento. It turned out to be okay. It turned out about as well as you expected. He was a good 3-point shooter. You worry about Wesley Matthews just based on age and based on the fact that he probably already peaked and he's coming off of that Achilles injury still, that he'll never be back to where he is, you know, earning over $18 million a year. You wonder if he's overpaid. Then the other part of it that's kind of the big – that hovers over the cap situation, if we're just focusing on the cap for Dallas, is Dirk Nowitzki's balloon payment in – you know, this past season, and then for this one, this upcoming one at $25 million a year. I don't want to say it's like Kobe Bryant, but it's close. Like, Dirk is at a point where he's almost unplayable on defense.
Because Kobe was just the – okay, I'm going to have to choose my words carefully because you'll be like, oh, you don't like Kobe. Kobe was the, it was a great, you know, the greatest, one of the greatest of all time who fell so far and he fell so hard. This is just the celebration tour at the end for Nowitzki because everybody liked him.
Yeah, but you got to admit, though, that the effectiveness of Dirk has sort of hit a crater.
Oh, yeah, but there's a, you know, there's no reason he can't play 25 minutes a game and just be, you know, an off-the-bench guy.
Or be a helper, whereas with Kobe, it was just so, like, it was like, yeah. Why is he even here? Like,
if
it was like,
I'm still playing 40 minutes, I'm going to shoot 30 times a game. I don't care if I can't make 25 of them anymore.
Yeah, the coach was enabling it, too, which was a bigger problem. You know?
Yeah, so this is just the, which I don't have a problem with this. Yes, they're capped out, but you're going to get Nowitzki's deal in 2 years off, so this year you could just discreetly tank. And be like, well, this is Dirk's farewell tour.
That's what the end of the season was for sure for Dallas. It was very much a quiet tank. Like they just did not. I think Cuban even admitted it in an interview late in the season. But they just knew, like, okay, we've got to keep our pick from the Nerlens Noel trade, who they acquired in February. We're going to have to try to stay in the top 18.
Well, see, unfortunately now there's too many, there's more than one level of tanking. This wasn't a blatant tank job because all they did was, we're going to cut our veterans, let them go, we'll let Williams, we'll let Boga go, let them play for a contender. Let's be nice to them. Let's get some 10-day contracts in. Let's get some D-League guys. Maybe we could strike gold again. This isn't like certain other teams who are like, hey, starters, go home. Just sit.
Mm-hmm.
They just said, we're just going to get young. We're going to cut people. So, yeah, of course you're going to lose if you're playing Quinn Cook and Ben Bentel got in for one
game.
Yeah,
and Jared Uthoff and A.J. Hammonds. And when you're throwing guys like that out
there,
you're
not going to win at that, but you're just trying to find the next Yogi Ferrell or even Seth Curry.
Let's go into this team stats. They're pretty ugly, specifically on offense. They were dead last in points per game, 28th in field goal percentage, 23rd in efficiency on offense. They never get to the free throw line, second to last in free throws made. The other thing that they were the worst at, too, which affected their defense, even though their defense was not exact, was probably their bright spot, but they were the worst rebounding team in the league. They do take care of the ball because they played such a slow pace. They were only second in turnovers. Their experience was middle of the pack, which is kind of like a schism, like you were explaining about Dirk and Devin Harris and their advanced age, along with the really, really young guys that they have, like Dorian Finney-Smith, Yogi Ferrell, Dwight Powell's fairly young. That kind of balances back to the middle. Where would be the first place to really attack, you know, for in terms of improvement? Would you go just straight to the offense, or would you go with like the center that they can never seem to find in free agency?
No, this is the year to not, you know, they don't have much cap room anyways. Once they sign Noel to a max dealer, he'll probably get what, 4 years.
Are you super confident they're going to keep him as a restricted free agent?
Oh yeah. They wouldn't have traded for him otherwise for him to go. He'll probably get, you know, what, 4 years, 80, for
him. Yeah, I would say maybe like at $18 million a year, something similar to what Wes Matthews got.
Well, that's, you know, this is also new money where Bismack Biyombo got 16.
I'm not saying Nerlens Noel is just as valuable as Wes Matthews. I'm saying like the kind of the inflated value type of thing, you know.
Yeah, so he's going to get paid, and there's going to be no room left. So their top 10 draft pick, they are perfectly positioned for, you know, one of two players, I think. Because after the big, you know, Baller Fultz, you're going to have a choice of point guards.
Mm-hmm.
You got Dennis Smith, you got Frank
Ntilikina. Yeah, they have it's a point guard rich draft for sure. We're going to hear that a lot as we go through these playlist teams.
So you're going to, you know, you could get one of those, or you could go for, you know, Lauri Markkanen to, you know, understudy Dirk for a year.
The Finnish guy out of Arizona.
Yep.
So give me your song. I had a different one this time. You know, we talked about this before the shows, and you had a suggestion for this one, which is one of my favorite songs, and then I had one that was a little bit softer, if that's even possible.
Well, for 95% of the season, it's going to be just party music. It's just going to be soft, little dance, you know, rock, just things you'll
little
see.
Little Montel, little TLC.
Yeah, just a little, not quite jock jams, but things you'll see at like a high school dance. Just, let's just have a party vibe. Hey, nobody look at us that we're really not trying to be that good. This is all about Dirk. Let's all have fun. This is the last time he's going to visit all these cities. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, you have to come in with a little boys to men end of the road.
Oh, okay. Because we have come to the end of the road, or are we almost there by the time we get to the end of Dirk's potential retirement tour in 2018?
With his retirement tour, but the end is going to be, you know, he's, you know, now he's the only, is he really the only one left who's been with one team? This long, like...
Well, with Duncan gone,
Kobe gone,
Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili. Outside of that, there's just three guys
who've been, you know, with one team, and he is the face of this franchise and has been since day one. And
yeah,
you know, it's gonna be end of the road.
Mine was even softer, which shows that I have a daughter. And that's Let It Go from Frozen. I mean, we're, you know, there's a point where it's like, okay, it's time to keep, you know, don't worry about what people think. Just keep going. That's all I can say about Dallas for when it comes to the song suggestion. I wasn't as succinct with the is that the word succinct? Is that the way you say it?
Okay, I can finish. Just like, keep going. Speak your way through it. I wasn't as
I didn't have as much expertise with picking out the songs, unfortunately. So mine might make a fart noise at the end. But yeah, Let It Go from Frozen for the Dallas Mavericks. There's a point with Dirk where it's just like, is he going to be a hindrance if he keeps going and he's just not as efficient? He only played 51 games this season because he started out at the beginning of the season. He missed like, what was it? Maybe like the first month of the season with some kind of a I don't know if it was the knee this time.
This or year he had the flu.
Yeah, and he was out for quite a while, you know, to start the season. And then when he came in, his defense was just awful, which kind of lent to why they were such a bad rebounding team. You know, he didn't have career lows because his rookie year was really bad, but it was pretty close. Like, he had his lowest numbers of his career, or close to it. Do you like guys like Dorian Finney-Smith, already cut Jonathan Gibson. They have Solly Majiri, but we already talked about the center position. They need to improve there.
They need to get bigger. They need to get fast. They need, well, because if you bring Noel in, you need to have an offensive center to that sort of, you know, to stretch center to play off of him now. And, you know, Barnes, I don't think Barnes is much of a four and can really play next to him.
He is a reliable offensive option. I'll say that. I don't know if he's a reliable number one option. That's my issue with Barnes.
But the thing is, can you play him down low as a four?
In a small ball lineup, yeah.
But with Noel.
With Noel, if Noel can really hang at center and improve his offensive game, then maybe.
That's sort of the big maybe is, you know, where do you go from here? And you're just going to have to – they need shooting desperately. And, you know, if you're just relying on Seth Curry, who is
– And
you know,
Yogi Ferrell, it's like, wow. You know, J.J. Barea, too. I mean, the problem with J.J. is that he still has two more seasons left on his contract. Now, it's not the most expensive contract in the world. He's, like, earning something in the neighborhood of like $5 million a year, maybe something. They almost got him.
It's just a nice veteran presence, and he could teach whoever the rookie is.
If you have to cut him, it's not a big deal. But like, you know, he missed almost the entire season this year. You know, but so it's a situation where they do have to turn a page. Like I said, Let It Go. You know, hitting the end of the road. We talk about how it's soft music and it's all about moving on and all this stuff. But yeah, that's kind of puts the bow there on the Dallas Mavericks. It's a rosier situation than people think because of how bad they were, how they kind of just bottomed out as a team compared to the previous years where they seemed to make the playoffs every single season. But I think there are definitely some options there for them to choose from in order to get better really quickly.
Well, it was going to happen because, you know, every year it was just let's get this 33-year-old guy and let's just try to, you know, patch up everything. It's like, okay, eventually you do need to hit the hard reset and start over. And they are, a little ahead of the curve.
Okay, let's move on to the Denver Nuggets. That was a team that we mentioned that actually came pretty close to the playoffs, or was at least within striking distance of getting a playoff spot. The Dallas Mavericks and the Minnesota Timberwolves seemed to kind of tease that as we got into the month of March, but they kind of tailed off at the end, and then Dallas went into tank mode about the last 2 weeks to keep their draft pick. Whereas Denver, they really kept going, kept trying. You know, they botched the Jozef Nurkić trade where they got him for an upcoming restricted free agent and Mason Plumlee that they're now basically stuck to re-sign unless they really want to get another center in free agency and not have to pay Plumlee. But they lost Nurkić in the deal. The only good thing about trading away Nurkić is that it opened up, you know, the floor for Nikola Jokic, their other European big man that turned out to be like he absolutely blossomed in his second year in the league.
It opened up, and you know, this was sort of the, you know, what do we know about this team? They just sort of threw a lot of crap at the wall. Yeah. They have a lot of players, but who really are they? Who's really a cornerstone piece? Yes, Jokic came in at the end, and he is the guy now. But what do we know about everyone else? What do we know about, you know, Moutier's potential? What do we know about Cousin Jamal? What do we know about Hernan Gomez, and even Gary Harris is 22. What's his ceiling? What do we have here?
Well, this thing, let's just kind of go in a row with all of them. First of all, Wilson Chandler was in a weird situation where he has a player option next season. He wanted out because he felt like that, like, even though he was productive, this is sort of the story of the Nuggets. He was productive for the team, but he felt like he wasn't a part of the nucleus. So he was trying to get traded out, but the Nuggets didn't field any offers that they liked for Chandler, so he stuck around. But he was like a candidate for sixth man of the year. He averaged 16 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists. He was very good. Gary Harris, very, very young, but he has very quickly come around in his third year in the league to be like a very efficient field goal percentage, 3-point shooting type of shooter. He's almost like a consummate starter at the three spot. You got Will Barton that comes off the bench. You got Nikola Jokic, who's just blossomed, like we mentioned. Daniil Gallinari is their leading scorer, probably their most renowned player, but he has a player option that he's absolutely going to decline, and you got to wonder if it's even worth it to keep him if you're in the middle of a youth movement. Then there's Moutier, who has really, really struggled in his second year to the point where he was losing playing time to Jameer Nelson. You know, is there an option maybe with their draft pick to just take another point guard?
Yeah, and that's the thing is this team just sort of the same thing we saw in Minnesota, where let's just have tons of talent, none of them really stand out, but like, is this sort of a, well, I mean, let's just pose this question. Do we like Coach Malone?
Well, you are definitely a little bit suspicious about what happened with retarding the development of Nurkić.
Yes.
I mean, what was your fear there? Do you feel like it was something where Nurkić maybe was unhappy in Denver,
or that Malone sort of messed it up? He, you know, is, let's try to play them together. Let's try, you know, let's just give both of them had DNPs for no legitimate reason. You have, you know, Moutier, he's starting. Now he's getting no minutes. We have just, you know, Hernan Gomez. He's on the bench. Now he's getting 30 minutes a game. What are we doing? What is he, you know, is he just sort of, I'm trying to literally find anything like a jigsaw puzzle or?
Well, it's hard to say that he had any kind of style in Sacramento when he coached, you know, Boogie Cousins and the Kings, because he wasn't there long enough really to figure it out. I didn't really get a grasp of an identity there either. I feel like he just kind of rides it by the seat of his pants. But I will say this. I think he's a very, very good offensive coach. You know, they were third in points per game, seventh in field goal percentage, fourth in efficiency. They played fast. They got to the free throw line a lot. They were a good 3-point shooting team. You remember that game against the Warriors where they like just absolutely dropped bombs on them from the 3-point line. You know, and they were number one in rebounding too, which would surprise a lot of people because their defense outside of the rebounding was really, really bad. You know, so if you just look at Denver, you would say, well, He's a really good offensive coach, but a bad defensive coach. But I don't know if that's a fair thing to say.
It's just sort of one of those questions of they seem to be on the cusp, but are they?
Yeah, exactly. Like maybe this was just like a flash, and then they have two bad years in a row after this, and then they start picking up with kind of the same nucleus that we're talking about, but with a couple of positions that get changed around. You know, it's hard to figure out. I mean, who do you think is going to be there in the long run for Denver, even though they do have a lot of pieces? I mean, I didn't even mention Kenneth Faried, who you know I'm not high on anymore. The problem is his contract at $13 million a year until 2019. Nobody wanted it.
It's not terrible. It's just...
It's the years.
He just needs to... They just need to find a place for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if this is the system for my... He's not a terrible player. He was the energy guy, and all of a sudden, his defense just sort of disappeared. I'm not sure that was, a Malone, let's change the way we're doing things, or what. It's... You know, the problem with Denver is they have 11 people under contract. They don't need any more draft picks. They don't need any, you know, once Gallinari goes somewhere else, because...
They have the cap space.
They have the cap space, but they're going to have to max them out, because there's just a lot of bad teams who also have cap space and said, well, we could give you a max deal.
Yeah, well, the only thing is they're sort of over a barrel with Mason Plumlee. I mean, they're just in a bad situation there. It's almost similar to Eric Gordon when he was in New Orleans after they traded for Chris Paul. Like, you don't want to feel like you gave up your best player for nothing. So, like, and it's not like Nurkic was their best player, but the reputation has already gotten to the point where you feel like you lost out on the deal. You need to make some value out of it. So they feel like they're going to have to match any offer sheet that Mason Plumlee gets.
Well, what happens is you gave a first-round pick just to get rid of him, and he's on a rookie contract. So, you know, he has two more years at, you know, $1.5 or $2 million. He's super cheap.
And I'm not saying getting rid of Nurkic was a bad idea. It was just how they did it, you know, what they did in the process of doing it. Like, if you wanted to trade him for, like, a draft pick, that would have been fine. Trading him for a marginal center.
For a stretch five who
doesn't really have to pay much else. Yeah, it's like, man, I don't know if that was really going to work. You know, you still got Daryl Arthur, who's kind of become one of their, like, veterans on the team. You talked about how the rotation is sort of a mess. Barton and Wilson Chandler sort of getting in each other's way as, like, the spark plug off the bench is sort of a good indication of how they don't really have a focus yet. You know, I do think Moutier is not long for this team. I don't know if he'll be around in the long run. I think some team in the summer will convince themselves that they'll get value if Denver dumps Moutier and they just either put Jamal Murray at point guard, who had a decent rookie year, or they just get another point guard in the draft.
Well, I think he has value because he has size, and I think it's just maybe the people they're putting him with. And, you know, last year these kids were even younger. They didn't really have a clue. This year they're putting it together.
Well, what did they do right? I mean, other than the offense. Like, what was it? What was there that you saw out of Denver where you're like, something seems to be clicking here?
It Gary Harris and Jokic are your A and B.
Mm-hmm.
They have their system down. They are gelling together. Those seem to be, you know, once Jokic starts having, Gary Harris's numbers started going up as well. So,
So what song did you have? I did not really have a good one. I sort of drew a blank every time I looked at the Denver Nuggets. I was just like, I don't know. Like, so what did you have for the playlist?
I think I'm gonna go with a little smooth jazz.
Okay. A little different.
A little smooth, because what happened last year? The Jazz were this team who didn't have focus, who just had a bunch of players. What happens? They got some veteran leadership. They got focused. Gobert went to the next level. Jokic seems to be where Gobert was last year. Just he made this leap out of nowhere. And then all of a sudden, they just need to see, all right, what did the Jazz do? Let's get some calming music, which we could, you know, do our homework. We don't need distractions right now. We just need to to grow up, put our time in, and because the veteran, you know, the veterans that they got, you know, Mike Miller, the corpse of Mike Miller, and Jameer Nelson, but are they the leadership pieces they need, or do they need to get in like that Jason Terry type player, just the old
someone who's
veteran
at the very end of their rope but has enough, you know, experience
with the playoff experience. Yeah. Mike Miller is there and he's, you know, helping the wings, but.
The thing, though, with Jason Terry, though, is that in Milwaukee, like, he's still a good three-point shooter. Like, he still has that. Mike Miller literally on the court has no value. That's the biggest problem with that. Like, it's hard to be a leader if you're not on the court.
Oh, yeah.
That's one problem. I mean, and if they have to overpay, you know, we saw this in Minnesota with you know, Kevin Garnett and Tayshaun Prince. Like, sometimes you have to sort of reach out in order to get one of those veterans, even if it's just in the interim. But I don't know if Denver even wants to do that. Maybe they just want to let all their young guys learn on their own,
which is what they did with Moutier last year. And it didn't seem to turn out. So look at Philly. They had to get
Gerald Henderson and Jared Bayless.
No, Elton Brand out of retirement.
Yeah.
No, not Elton Brand.
Yeah, they did. They did get Elton Brand out of retirement.
I was going to say Okafor, but...
They had Mo Williams for like 5 seconds because they had to get out to the salary.
They had to get him out of retirement just so, like, well, we'll put you on the roster just so you could teach some of these young guys. And that's what they need. Just nice, calming, smooth something, because they are on the tip of we're ready to break through, just like the Jazz were last year.
Do you think Jokic is a big, like, Teddy Pendergrass fan?
Who's Teddy Pendergrass?
I think that's a smooth Jazz guy, right?
Jazz is not about image and names. It's just about the music.
When you say smooth jazz, like what names, what artists do you think of pretty close, like pretty quickly? Like B.B. King or?
Jazz is just, you know, Kenny, you go into some. Jazz is just about the bars. It's background music. It's atmosphere. Teddy Pendergrass, he had some famous song, I think.
Yeah, well, it's so what you're saying is that it's kind of has ambiguity. It's like one of those ones where you like look for the like a serious channel and you just let it play out. Kind of like the Nuggets. It's sort of ambiguous and whatever, and you just kind of like whatever it is, it is.
Yeah, it's we're not talking Kenny G jazz or like Harry Connick Jr. It's just
that's the Harry Connick Jr. Hey, don't mess with Harry Connick. He's a legend down here in New Orleans.
It is just going to one of the bars where you just have some random jazz band playing in the background. They don't have names. They just go out there, you know, they're the little, you know, their guitar cases up there and just, you know, pop a dollar. Just stay focused and they should be good next year.
Are you ready to talk about the LA Lakers?
Let's.
You're more optimistic now than you used to be about the Lakers, especially, you know, I mean, even when Kobe retired, you felt really down about their prospects because of the potential that they were going to lose that draft pick in 2016. But they wound up keeping it, and they drafted Brandon Ingram. They bring in Luke Walton to be the head coach to replace Byron Scott, who was just like a rotting corpse of a head coach. And, you know, they re-signed Jordan Clarkson. They somehow kept Nick Young and boosted his value because Nick Young had one of his best like efficiency seasons as a three-point shooter. Julius Randle seems. Did you feel like Julius Randle got better this year? That's a good question to ask.
I don't know if he got better. He's just he is what he is.
I mean, he does rack up a triple double every now and again, which means he's a better passer than people give him credit.
He is better, but it's just I don't see him taking over a game. I don't see him as that superstar level. Is he just going to be one of those very good players who just never goes, you know, because yes, it is his, you know, third technical year, but was there a giant leap or just this guy will give us what he'll give us? He's not going to become a 25-10 or.
Yeah. Well, let's try to figure out sort of like the core of what this team is going to be. Now let's preface this with this. They did go through a very major, like, mid-season shakeup that had very little to do with actually the personnel on the court outside of Lou Williams, who was their top scorer, their top bench player. And they traded him away to the Houston Rockets to get a in exchange for a first-round pick while the Rockets were trying to boost up their offense. That was a big loss for them scoring-wise, but he wasn't really, like, part of the core of what the Lakers are going to be, like, what's going to make the Lakers valuable in the next 5 years, if they are valuable. That would be D'Angelo Russell, Julius Randle, and would you put Ingram in that mix, or do you not think he's in that circle yet?
Well, he's going to have to be. You know, he was a second-round pick, and everybody, you know, this is where I'm not high on the Lakers. Everybody was, oh, he's the next Durant, because he's skinny like Durant. Oh, he shoots threes like Durant. Well, it so happens in the NBA, everybody's a lot faster, and everything moves a lot faster. And what turned out, he didn't get his shots off as he want. His slow mechanics sort of, you know, he played far more than any other rookie this year, and
yeah,
there was no reason he shouldn't have been, you know, Rookie of the Year consideration given the amount of time on the court. And
well, the more minutes you play, if you're not efficient, the worse you look, you know, because if your efficiency is really, really low, then you get this reputation that you were a bad rookie, regardless of the numbers.
You know, and he had a super rough rookie year, and you know, Lakers fans are like, well, there was development. It last, you know, 2 months he did good. Well, that was when they took everybody else off the court.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, nobody else was really trying, but
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, also, you know, for development, oh, here's our point guard of the future, D'Angelo Russell. Oh, wait, we can't play him at the point guard. He's not a good point guard. He's better as a two now.
Do you think that was deterred a little bit by the knee operation that he had midseason? Or do you think that was just a very simple, like, run-of-the-mill type of thing that all young players go through and he'll be okay?
It's just a little run-of-the-mill type thing.
But, yeah, that is a worry about D'Angelo Russell at the one. He seems to work a little bit better as an off-the-ball, too. You know, but the problem is they don't have a point guard. They originally drafted him. Like, remember the stories out of Ohio State? Like, oh, he's got incredible court vision. And it's like, I don't see it in the NBA right now. You know, the other problem is you've got the whole issue with Magic Johnson and Jeannie Buss and the Buss family dynasty drama. And Magic comes in. You know, the very first move he does is they bring in Rob Pelinka to be the general manager under him, and then they trade Lou Williams. But he seems to be very patient with everything else. I think the death knell, though, for Mitch Kupchak, who was let go when, you know, Jimmy Buss was taken out of the circle, was the Luol Deng, Timofey Mozgov signings in the summer. Just
and then defending them, saying it'll take 5 years to figure out if they were good deals or not. And, you know, they're going to be good deals in year when they're both expirings, and they're going to, you know.
Yeah.
Because 4 years from now, every team is going to be capped out because they have of all these bad contracts and the new TV money. So, yeah, they're going to be valuable, but they're just, you know, okay, the blatant take shot, everybody go home. Okay, Avika Zubac, what do you got? Okay, David Nwaba,
David Nwaba, who literally came out of nowhere. Like, he wasn't even in the D-League. He had to pay his way to get in the D-League. You know,
and
Corey Brewer was trash. I mean, but we knew that was going to happen from the exchange on the Lou Williams deal.
And the Lou Williams deal was just basically that's their contingency for if we don't have a top three pick, we still have somebody. Yeah. So we could get somebody who slides or we could figure out something as opposed to, well, we have nothing. We have a bad team. You know, and you know, more credit to the players who didn't take tanking. You know, sitting down. They said, we're going to keep playing.
They
as hard
won like
as you
five of their last six games, I believe. Yeah.
Because in the end, if you're tanking, who's the one that's going to get replaced? It's you.
Well, there is the tender situation of keeping that draft pick, which would go to Philadelphia unless they go into the top three. And, you know, they're flirting with disaster for the second year in a row. So the idea, while the Lakers were winning five games in a row, all the smart guys in the room were saying, oh, this is stupid. You're supposed to be tanking. You know, we criticize every team for not playing hard. And then when the Lakers play hard, we're like, no, you're not supposed to play hard.
So they're tanking. If you're Jordan Clarkson, what does tanking get you? It gets you Lonzo Ball, so where your minutes are gone. Mm-hmm. You're now going to be relegated to 20 minutes a night, and you've lost your contract, and you're just going to be bouncing around now because, well, you decide to tank.
The fair thing for – I'll give Mitch Kupchak credit for this. The one fair part about Jordan Clarkson is that it's a tradable, it's a more tradable contract than what we initially thought Clarkson was going to be, and that was a Tyler Johnson ask Gilbert Arenas deal, because he was originally a second round pick, where you pay him a little bit on the front end and then you blow up the salary on the back end. But that's not what happened with Clarkson. They just gave him a straight like four year like what, $50 million or maybe like $44 million contract, where it's a much more tradable contract down the road if Clarkson doesn't work out. That's just my small aside for that one.
It's a tradable contract, but again, you get, you know, Lonzo Ball or Fultzen. Well, Clarkson, you're gonna pay somebody, you know, $13 million to be, you know, sit way on the bench now, because you know Russell could play point, and you know it's just one of the things. You know, nobody wants to see a sad, pathetic, bad team.
Well, people do like to see a sad, pathetic Laker team, because they like to rub it in that they're not the big boys anymore.
But that lasts for only so long. Then it's just, well, you know, who do I have to root against now? Mm-hmm. You don't want, like, you know, the same thing. Everybody loves to hate Duke. That you know, I always mentioned that the year they didn't make the NIT, it was just like, well, that kind of was disappointing.
Yeah.
You know.
Like Calipari with Kentucky, the year that they made the NIT, it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, so, you know, what do you have to get? If there's no villain, it's just, oh, well, why can't you be better so I can hate you again?
I look at the team stats, and I'm not really seeing a lot of good. You know, a little bit of, like, run-of-the-mill stuff. Like, they were middle of the pack in rebounding. They weren't a terrible three-point shooting team. Luke Walton came with the Golden State Warriors. You knew the three-point shooting was going to go, especially coming off of Byron Scott, who, like, refused to shoot threes. So you knew that was going to go up a little bit. They were 10th in steals. They played fast. They were 6th in pace. Their experience is – they're very young. Their core is young, like we talked about. But the fact that they brought in Deng and Mozgov, and they had Meta World Peace and Nick Young and guys like that, made their experience look better than it actually was. You know, I mean, as an aside, do you think we've seen the last of the former Ron Artest Meta World Peace?
Well, he might be a coach, and he's been, you know,
well, as a player.
They could keep him around for another year, just on a veteran minimum, to teach the youngsters, because he's a great defensive guy, so he could be there as the defensive Tayshaun Prince.
Yeah.
But you know, again, look at just the same thing from just the coaching change. Nick Young had a resurgence. D'Angelo Russell got to start and, you know, led in pretty much all statistical categories just because, well, he's a rookie and rookies need to sit, so I need to play crappy players.
Not a good rebounding guard, though. He's not one of those Russell Westbrook type of, like, smaller physical guards. He's just, like, his assist numbers are good, but I feel, though, like, his best potential is as, a, like, an Isaiah Thomas type. You know, that's like a poor man's Isaiah Thomas.
There's time for
a little scoffing there from Adam.
It's just one of those. Well, you're you know, these are all based upon as a point guard, but now he's as a two. I think you kind of have to reevaluate. Yeah. You know what he is now with this in the upcoming season.
What song did you have for the playlist for the Hollywood Lakers? I mean, they got a lot of distractions out there in LA that they can listen to while they toil in mediocrity for yet another offseason. But what do you have?
Well, for the Hollywood Lakers, I said Foo Fighters, because think about it. Once Nirvana ended, it was, well, you're grunge. This is who you are. Dave Grohl's like, no, I'm just going to do what I want to do. And these, you know, these kids said, we're not going to tank. Screw L.A. We need to have a top five free agent come in. And we're going to be we have to get on the Kevin Durant book tour, and we have to be on all these guys' lists. Everybody needs to come here. They just said, no, we're just going to come out and play. We're going to do our own music, and we're going to grow as musicians. And
so who would be the Dave Grohl of this situation?
It would have to be, you would think it would be Ingram, based upon all the star potential. Everybody, you know, he's the next Durant. In theory, he should be the highest ceiling of them all.
Yeah. Who did you prefer? Did you prefer Foo Fighters or Nirvana? I mean, Nirvana obviously had a smaller shelf life, but
Nirvana was just, it's one of those, it was a time piece. Their time was then that their Nevermind album was, you know, how many singles were on that thing? You could space that out and had
Come
five
As You Are, Smells Like Teen Spirit. Yeah,
but, you know, In Utero didn't resonate. Of course, you know, they couldn't have kept it up for many more albums. But Foo Fighters, what they become, you know, name anything they've done in the past 10 years. They just put out very, I don't want to say generic songs now. Like their last album, where we went to different studios, went to different towns, we talked to somebody, and we got the feel of the city. But yeah, all the songs sounded the same.
Yeah, they put out rock-solid rock albums is the best way to put it.
They put out good albums. They're nothing spectacular, but you can do that. But it's just a completely, you know, 180 sound from what, you know, he had started off as to
Well, that's the one thing with Grohl is that he's a tremendous guitarist. He's willing to make changes to his style. For that song, because when you mentioned Foo Fighters to me, the one I would immediately think of is one of my favorite ones from the late 90s, and that was Learn to Fly, you know? Make my way back home and learn to fly. I don't know if that will fit for the Lakers. I don't know if they'll ever learn to fly, but you got to start somewhere, you know. And this was the beginning of that process. I will say this for Nick Young because you mentioned him. I do think that was a very sneaky way of trying to get him to overplay so that he can think his value is higher, opt out, and get him out of here because they couldn't wait to get rid of Nick Young about a year ago. And I think it's still there. You know,
that was the previous regime, and all of a sudden, well, let's, you know, cultivate it. Let's do something. Because one thing, you can't teach kids who want to play. You've seen, you know, the veteran mentality of, oh, we'll kick it on when we need to. They had nothing to play for, and all of a sudden, you know, they're still playing hard, and there's a difference between a team who gives up and a team who doesn't.
Okay, let's move on to the Minnesota Timberwolves. 31-51 this season. A lot worse than I think a lot of people would expect. Is that fair to say, or you think that the expectations were just a little too high?
It's a lot worse than people expected, but then it was a lot better after watching them for the first 2 months.
Okay, the first 2 months defensively, awful. Still had terrible defensive numbers in the overall. You know, 19th points allowed, 27th defensive efficiency, bad rebounding team, slow pace, which didn't shock people because it was Tom Thibodeau. The problem was they were one of the youngest teams in the league. I think they were the fourth youngest. And they don't want to shoot threes because that's not Thibodeau's style either. And they're in you're in a Western Conference there where everybody – or in a league overall where offense is up, everybody's moving and going. And Minnesota with their young legs, they just – you know, Thibodeau wanted to slow things down, try to teach him the ways on defense. It never came around. At the start of the season, Zach LaVine really, really – busted out. He was shooting a lot of threes. He was shooting a high field goal percentage. He was averaging 19 points a game. He tore his ACL right before the All-Star break. But what happened, though, is that Minnesota seemed to play a little bit better, and Ricky Rubio played a lot better down the stretch.
The problem with LaVine, is he can't play defense at all. He is just a horrible defender.
Yeah, he's got which is funny because he's so good at jumping from a standstill and, you know, moving around. He's a pretty fluid athlete, but once it comes to getting in a defensive stance, it just doesn't seem to click. Even Wiggins too. Andrew Wiggins is about to get paid this summer. You know that. But defensively, he's not what we thought he could be. We thought he could be Tracy McGrady or, you know, one of those small forward three guys that could defend fours and twos, but he just can't do it.
Now, you know, just take a look at this team. You got Towns, Wiggins, LaVine, Rubio, Muhammad, and we'll say Tyus Jones and Chris. Well, we'll not say the exception of Chris Dunn. These are all one and doneers. Rubio didn't really play defense in the Spanish league. That's a whole different thing. So they didn't. You know, Calipari doesn't teach defense. They're not learning it. He's not learning it in Kansas. They're not. You know, Coach K has just given up, it seems. He's just, I'm just going to, I too will go the blue chip route and get one and doneers who cares if they learn fundamentals.
Yes.
So, you know, of course these guys couldn't pick up Thibodeau's really complex D and everything going. But, yeah, like you mentioned, once LaVine went and the team got better, they got a little more closed unit. And that's a problem is now what do we do with him? He was a corner piece. He was okay, let's give out tons of money to him. Now where do you go here?
Okay, well, let's also talk about here with the restricted free agency of Shabazz Muhammad, because I know that's a stickling point for you. Because he's not a bad player, but I feel like he's sort of already reached his max potential as a player. Like, do you think he's worth keeping if the offer, whatever offer sheet he would wind up getting, rides up past like the $15 million per year mark?
Well, he's gone.
Okay, so you don't think he's back?
He is going to be the Orlando Magic, Brooklyn Nets, Phoenix Suns. No, Phoenix has no draft. Sacramento. He's going to be the, well, we have money to spend. Let's just give a max deal out.
Okay. The other thing is, like, most of their other nucleus is still going to be there. There's all the talk about Ricky Rubio and whether he was going to get traded, but he's still got 2 years left on his contract. You know, I mean, do you feel like it's in the best interest just to keep him?
Was, New York turned down the trade of Derrick Rose for Rubio.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, Rubio is now, he's become, just watch him at the end, he is back to being the, you know, the Rondo assist machine. Yeah, he's shooting a little better now, but he was never going to be that great shooter. He just had the great court vision. He's going to put it where everyone needed to do it. It's just the problem was, no, there was no spacing on any of his previous teams and no real fluidity.
Yeah.
So it's one of those, he's sort of too valuable now.
Yeah, and I mean, Thibodeau tried to go the experience route where he kind of enlists, a good soldier. Like, he brought in John Lucas III. It didn't really help out well. Omri Caspi came in at the very end. He didn't really do that much. Jordan Hill, I don't even know why they signed him. Like, that was just a waste, you know?
It was, but thankfully, he has a very low...
Not guaranteed, maybe, yeah.
$1.5 million guarantee, so he's good as gone.
Nikola Pekovic is out of the mix, period. They're mercifully going into the last year of his contract next season, though. He'll probably get a stretch, so...
Nemanja Bjelica, his injury
is concerning. Yeah,
it's concerning, but it killed him because he was playing really well. Pekovic, yeah, they're gonna get his money back, which is good. You know, Gordy Dang, you don't like him.
Well,
as much.
Any regrets about the contract extension in October?
No, because he's been solid. He's not going to be.
And the numbers do look good. He's one of those. I always tell you, I like any player that averages more than one block and more than one steal a game. And Gordy Dang is one of those players. So.
He's not going to be a sexy player, but, you know, with Anthony Towns and Wiggins playing between you, what can you do?
Okay, Karl Anthony Towns is a superstar already. Is that fair to say?
Yep, he took another leap.
I mean, he really, like, he was the rookie of the year by far last year, even over Porzingis, but this year he got even better. I was looking at, like, individual, like, best, most efficient single-game performances. Karl Towns showed up, I gotta say, at least maybe 20 times, where I was just like, wow, like, this guy is really good every night. 24 points, 12 rebounds, 1.3 blocks. He's one of those Anthony Davis types where next summer, when he is eligible for an extension and they don't even have to go into restricted, he's going to get the max. Do you think Andrew Wiggins, however, is in that same position? Because the complication there is that Zach LaVine, who is on the mend from his knee surgery, is also going to be a restricted free agent in 2018. So what does Minnesota do here?
I would just say if the player is not named Wiggins or Towns, just, you could get rid of them. You have to, with teams like this, and we mentioned with Denver, find out who your superstars to build around are, and then start building around and get complementary pieces. Don't just get, well, LaVine's a talent, but he doesn't play D, and you need somebody who's going to be complementary.
Would you even consider trading LaVine?
Yeah, if there's a good deal on the table from somebody's going to willing to overpay, it's just one of those. They were going to give him a ton of money. Now, I would say it almost makes him pause of, you know, how much of a cornerstone is he going to be? There's a difference between, let's just give... Contracts these days have sort of just been, let's give a player money. Let's give Evan Turner $70 million. $70 million should be, you're a cornerstone of our piece. You're supposed to, you know, you're supposed to be one of our top six players.
Now they're letting the market demand what the salaries are, whereas it's not... focusing on what's the value to the team, you know, that's always been a constant problem with GMs and players of, like, well, okay, you got this guy for some decent coin, but does he fit? You know,
there's a difference between, well, let the market decide his value, and then, well, should we just keep him because, well, we're going to, you know, it's 5 years. There's no guarantee that Thibodeau will be there all 5 years. There's no guarantee that, you know, all the GM front office stuff is going to be there next 5 years. When you're making these deals, you have to sort of envision this is going to lead us to a championship or at least an NBA finals.
Okay. 3-point shooting and pace is never going to get better under Thibodeau. So I'm not even putting those as areas of concern because they're just never going to get better. That's his way. Where on defense do they have to really approach improvement? Like, is it the rebounding? Is it just teaching it? Like, where does it have to start?
It's just going to be teaching it, and they need another year to learn. Now they've seen the, you know, it's like a certain situation in New York. Well, we're going to bring a totally new offense in. Well, none of us know how to play it. Don't worry, you'll learn it within a week. Okay, you've played it for a year, you know how to play it. Let's do it again this year. You're going to be better at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those takes time.
I mean, with Dunn, it's way too early to give up on him. I wouldn't draft another point guard just because you're not sure about Dunn. Like, he might come around a second year.
He was decent on defense.
Yes, he was.
He just was anemic offense. Him and Tyus Jones, okay, well, which are you going to be back a point guard? Neither of them shot too well, but you stayed on the court because... But the problem with Thibodeau is... he just played his starters 40 minutes a game every game.
Yeah, I think the only starting rotation that had more minutes was the Wizards. But the Wizards are a playoff team, and they needed to play those minutes. Whereas with the Minnesota Timberwolves, even in the last month of the season, where that would be tank mode for teams not in the playoffs, he was still trotting out his starters. You know, and it was
So that's the problem of, you know. You have all these first-round lottery draft picks. You still don't have a bench.
Mm-hmm.
Because how are your players going to learn if, you know, they get injured and there's nobody to replace them?
And you got the bad bench players leaving anyway. You got Brandon Rush and Adrian Payne are going to be out the door. Caspi, like we said, we're not sure if that's going. Jordan Hill is probably gone. They gotta redo the entire bench, and you don't really know who you're going to be getting back outside of, you know, Nemanja Bjelica. I can see a situation where they get Tyus Jones for, like, some kind of value in a trade, if some team is desperate enough that they think Tyus Jones can be, like, either a good backup or a starter for them, and they might be able to get something in exchange. And they can do that because they have done already to back up Rubio. What song did you have for Minnesota?
Minnesota, it's just the same story every year. Another top 10 pick, another time in the lottery. I just gave them boy band music because eventually they need to learn how to transition from NSYNC into Justin Timberlake's solo career. Because you just don't want to be the other guys in the band. Or, oh, you remember us? We were that.
Is there a favorite boy band that you have? I mean, there's way more than just Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. There's 98 Degrees. There's remember O-Town? You can do O-Town.
There's
BB Mac.
Kids.
There's a...
Even the current incarnation in One Direction. You could either be that, the two guys who've done nothing.
Or you could be
Zayn.
Yeah.
You could be Zayn or the one who did the Taylor Swift song.
That was Zayn.
I thought that was Harry. But, you know, that's the thing is, you could, you know, right now they're still just the boy bands. Well, we're all a team. We're all 10 players with talent, and we have potential. Well, you need to find your superstar and just go in a direction. And last year was supposed to be the year they did it, and obviously Thibodeau's a great hire. It's just, okay, now the process needs to be kicked down the road a little longer.
So in this situation, Towns is clearly Justin. Is Wiggins like J.C. Chazet? Is he like Lance Bass? Like, who is number two?
I'm not here to rank NSYNC members.
I'm going to have to get Emily in the room. I think she's going to have some really, like, serious questions about this. You know, she's like a Backstreet Boys NSYNC aficionado. She would literally give me a breakdown of exactly who would rank ahead of who, you know. The one I had was the song by Fun, We Are Young. I mean, it's kind of more generic. But, you know, the thing about We Are Young is that when you first hear, like, the first, like, half, minute of the song, you're like, man, this song is stupid. And then it gets into its like main chord and you're like, oh, I know this song. Like, I wonder if Minnesota's like that, where the beginning is just super duper rough, but then once you get to the real like meat of the song, you're just like, oh, this could be really good. You know, do you think that could happen for Minnesota, where take off?
Based on your analogy, they could just be Smash Mouth and just have, oh, their song's fun. Yeah, I wouldn't want to go see them or buy their album or anything.
Yeah.
They're not going to go anywhere, but oh, they, you know, hey, good for Minnesota. They made it on national TV for the first time in however many years.
Okay, let's move on to my New Orleans Pelicans here.
Okay, the floor is yours.
Oh, no. The floor is yours, please. No, I'll go ahead. 34-48. Really weird season where, you know, they Anthony Davis was absolutely on a tear, averaging 50 points a game the first week of the season, even though they were dropping games like flies. Bad rotation with a lot of guards that were newcomers. You know, they lost Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson to free agency. They bring in Solomon Hill. They bring in Etuan Moore, Langston Galloway. They bring back Drew Holiday, who had taken a sabbatical because his wife had had a cancer scare, and also she was pregnant at the same time. Comes back, they play a little bit better. They were about four games out of the playoff race, or out of the last spot in the playoffs come All-Star break. And then Dell Demps, is it safe to say saved his job, or is it too early?
He did. That? He got super lucky.
Okay, at the All-Star break, which was in New Orleans because it had been relocated there because of the Charlotte pulling out of Charlotte, Dell Demps and Vlade Divac swing a deal to bring DeMarcus Cousins to New Orleans in exchange for a draft.
Assorted garbage.
Yeah, Langston Galloway, our first-round draft pick, which is Buddy Hield, who was playing okay for us but seemed to play a little bit better when he got to Sacramento. And I'm trying to remember some other parts of the deal that they got in exchange.
Omri Caspi.
We got Omri Caspi, but he immediately got hurt. Tyreke Evans we traded, which was not a problem because he was an expiring deal and they didn't really have a future for him anyway. And also a protected draft pick. I don't know how that happened, but it should have been unprotected. But the Kings couldn't swing that. The problem, though, was that after the All-Star break, they were about as bad as they were before that. I mean, would you say that they were about equally as bad or a little bit better with Cousins and Davis as the 4-5?
Well, the problem is you changed your whole system around and, you know, the players they brought in are no longer there, and you bring in a big guy. Well, what does a big guy need? He needs a strong two guard to shoot threes and take pressure off him. Well, there was nobody there. You're reduced to signing, who was it? They got
Crawford.
Yeah, they had to get Jordan Crawford and Quinn Cook in and just all these D-League guys. They had, you know, they had 26 players this year. Yeah, part of it's the trade, but the past 3 years they've had over 20 players each year suit up for them. That is just way too many every year.
It was a situation where, you know, the medical thing has always been sort of a curse that hovers over the New Orleans Pelicans. I hope it doesn't happen to Cousins as well. But, you know, there are moments there where Davis and Cousins were dominating statistically together, and you were like, man, if they could just get some good guards around them and a good three-man, that would really, really work. But, I mean, they were to the point where they were resorting to having Tim Frazier be their, like, their de facto point guard if Drew Holiday was out. You know, they had almost – is it fair to say zero depth after Holiday?
They've had zero depth every year, and I don't know why they gave the contracts out they did, but Solomon Hill was just god-awful.
He had that 129-point game.
Everybody's due to have one good game, but
yeah, but he's off. He was really bad. That's one of those sabermetrics things where you look at the numbers when he was in Indiana, Solomon Hill we're talking about, and said, oh, he could be good if you expand the per 36 to, like – like maybe like to like regular minutes, and it's like, no, he's not worth that. You can't play a guy in small sample sizes, expand it, and just immediately think he'll be equally efficient. It was a red herring, is best way to put it.
Yeah, and that's, you know, obviously, well, they're gonna make the playoffs. Well, they're already you know, they were, what, 6 or 7 games out before the trade? So it was, yes. They had a lot to overcome, and there's not much you could do. Your first game in, Omri Gaspi breaks his thumb, and
they lose their first 3 with Cousins and Davis at the helm. Now, their first game was against the Rockets, you know, who were one of the best teams in the West, you know. But you got to beat good teams in order to get there, and they really weren't able to do that. They weren't able to really prove that they could do that. Now, Cousins did have some really nice games as a Pelican for the – you know, for the 2 months that he did play. Like, he had some games where it was like, holy smoke. Now, I see how good DeMarcus Cousins is because I'm more invested in watching the game now. But there are some certain holes. I mean, you don't want to see the Boogie curse. You know, some people are calling him the New Orleans Pelicans because you don't want that curse to kind of hover over what Cousins, all the issues Cousins had in Sacramento to kind of migrate to New Orleans. So, I mean, do you think that's possible?
Well, there's just there's no... I don't want to say front office drama with this team. Their front office is basically the inmates are running the asylum because, you know, what's his name is more worried about
Tom Benson. Yeah.
Benson's more worried about his kids suing him every 2 days.
Like, did you read the story years ago about how in his office, supposedly he has like wine and candy. He like eats wine and drinks wine and eats candy for most of the day.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, and then his daughter was partying. He's like, oh, you're partying too much. You're not serious. I'm cutting you out of everything.
Yeah, Rita got cut out of the bill. And she blamed the mother or the wife, you know, Tom's wife. So it was like very, very messy situation. I think it was eventually settled. But the thing with Gentry is that, I mean, for Dell Demps, I mean, he was going to be in a really bad situation before this trade because Gentry is not going to work out. And it was a situation that's like, okay, Dell, This is the second coach you've hired. I know that they say that Monty Williams was hired by the previous GM, but the truth is Demps stuck with Monty during the rebuild when they traded Chris Paul. He committed to Monty. Then he fired him and replaced him with Alvin Gentry, thinking that Gentry would give them the next step from being a first-round playoff team to doing even better with Davis at the lead. It didn't happen. They went backwards. So it's like, okay, Demps, this is the second guy that you've messed up on as a coach. And then he swung the trade for Boogie that basically kept him alive for another year. But are you at a point now where firing Gentry is okay because Demps knows he's protected from a firing himself?
Well, it depends if you know, it all depends what he does this offseason because, you know, you gave a lot of money to Ejuan Moore, you gave a lot of money to Tim Frazier to be your backup guards, and what do you need? You need a backup guard or even a starting guard at this point who's not Jrue Holiday. So, you know, the disaster situation is, what happens when Sacramento overpays Jrue Holiday?
When Sacramento overpays Jrue Holiday?
Or, you know, somebody maxes him.
Like if he leaves in free agency, you mean?
Yes.
Well, you have to pray. Let's say that it's already been determined that they're not going to keep the draft pick because they didn't get the top 3 pick. So that's out of the window. At that point, you've got to find really good guards in free agency. The one good thing for the Pelicans is that even though it's going to be a big concern next summer, DeMarcus Cousins is not going to sign any kinds of extensions. He's not going to renegotiate or anything so he can get more money on the front end. That it's bad because there's a chance that you're going to probably lose DeMarcus Cousins for nothing at the end of 2018. The good thing though is that means you have DeMarcus Cousins on his older contract when he was in Sacramento, which tops out at $20 million a year. That gives you that extra $5 or $6 or $7 million that you would have had to commit to Boogie if you tore up that contract and signed a new one. So you do have a little bit of cap space along with losing Holiday to get some good guards. The problem is Demps has to get good guards.
Do you, if you gave $11 million to Solomon Hill, you gave $8 million to Ejuan Moore, you had Alex Ajinka there for $5 million?
Those guys, they would have to find a way for someone to pick them up. They'd also have to find a way to trade Omer Asik's contract, which I think is happening.
You know, it's one of those, you know, I had sort of brought the topic up to you, like, do they almost have to trade their 2018 first rounder blindly just to get rid of some of this dead money?
Which would haunt me because that's exactly what they did when they got Drew Holiday in the first place, and I think the other one was Omer Sheik. They traded Omer Sheik for a first round trip, or they traded a first round draft pick to get Omer Sheik. You know, and I don't want to see that happen again. You know, and here's the other problem: what happens if you blindly trade your 2018 first round draft pick, but you don't have Boogie Cousins?
That's the thing is, well, you had to do that to get rid of, you know, Solomon Hill and Omer Sheik, so it's tough.
Team stats, you know, defensively they were actually pretty good. Like, they were actually one of the better defensive teams in the league. When Cousins got there, it seemed like their defense got worse, but I felt like they were still coming around. Like, when you have a big move like that, it's so earth-shaking that kind of figuring out the team after that, it's almost like starting a new team. Is that fair to say?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, points per game, 18th. Points allowed, 18th. You know, they were a really bad shooting team, which is not good for Gentry, because Gentry's calling card supposedly is that he's a good offensive coach. Well, they couldn't make threes. They couldn't shoot from the field, even though Anthony Davis is a tremendous field goal percentage shooter. And they don't get to the free throw line often. Now, that might get better when we get a full season of Cousins and Davis, who both just march to the free throw line together. But they've got to find a way to get a good small forward, and they've got to find a way to shore up the point guard position if they can't re-sign Drew Holiday. Now, I'll say this too for Holiday. He seemed in the first games that started with Davis and Cousins, it seemed like the moment got too big for Holiday. Like, he had some really, really rotten games. Like, I'm not saying that Holiday is just not fit for the team. I'm saying that I don't know how Holiday fits as, like, a third wheel in a big three type of situation.
Okay, so let's say Holiday leaves. Do you go for the fences and make a big trade? Like, do you go for, one of the Phoenix castaway point guards, or Reggie Jackson, maybe?
I think they have to. Like, because in the free agency, you're going to overpay anyway, and it's going to be past their price range because of the money that they've already got committed to.
You're not just going to go for, like, a second-rate, broken-down Derrick Rose, or...
Well, that's the problem. How much are they going to ask for? You know, because, I mean, New York probably wouldn't ask for more than $16 million a year out of Derrick Rose's agent. But maybe Derrick Rose's agent will find a way to get... Like, it's like Chandler Parsons. Like, they'll find a way to get that money somewhere at him. Like, that, you know, that's the whole point. Like, the whole point of an agent is to ride up the salary price so they get the most for their guy. Like, they're going to find a way to do that with even the broken down point guards, like the Derrick Roses of the world. And I'm trying to think of another guard that might be like Brandon Jennings. Like, Brandon Jennings might be able to make himself some coin with this playoff run with Washington, you know? So it's hard to figure out, you know, but I do think they have to make a big move. One more. There's one more big move they have to make, whether it's re-signing Holiday or, if Holiday leaves, making a big trade to bring someone else in. But I do think getting a good small forward is an absolute must, because Solomon Hill is not working out. So let's figure out a song here. What do you have?
Well, I gotta say, it has to be anything with a doctor in the title or the song. You know, Eminem, I Need a Doctor, Weird Al Like a Surgeon.
Weird Al, thank you. Like,
that Doctor song from the 80s. Anything, because this team just needs to stay healthy next year. If Cousins or Davis goes down, your season is so beyond sunk. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, well, who does he resign? What happens? What's his value?
You could do that techno song, I Need a Miracle.
You need just to stay healthy for a year.
I had a song from the R&B artist Tamia. There's a Stranger in My House, because it felt like that with DeMarcus Cousins. Now look, Boogie and Davis, they didn't play together at Kentucky, but they're buds. Like, they go back. You know, they played together on Team USA in the FIBA World Cup. They know each other. You know, so they have familiarity. But New Orleans as a fan base, which is not exactly the biggest, and the Pelicans organization, they're not familiar with Cousins. And Cousins not familiar with them. So it's kind of like, where is this going? Like, I think that's the whole concern about the Pelicans right now. We're kind of at a position now where we're like, all right, is this actually going to work out? Is this going to blow up in our face? And we don't really know yet. It's not like Nurkic with Portland, where you're like, oh yeah, that worked out for Portland, and Denver was dumb for doing that deal. Like with the Pelicans and the Kings, who we're going to talk about in a minute, it's still kind of like, what's going on here? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, any other comments about the Pelicans before we move on? Because we got a little bit, we got
for
two more.
For you, I would recommend some Tibetan monk chanting, just saying it's going to be okay.
Trying to keep all the medical, because the medical stuff, really, you got to have like an A+ health in order for this to work out. That's the biggest problem, too.
And it's just, I don't know who their medical crew is, but it just seems they just aren't that good.
Well, let's talk about the organization that's always had that reputation of like the best medical training team ever when they had the older players kind of stringing them along, and that was the Phoenix Suns. I don't think people are worried about their medical staff now. I think they're worried about the fact that they're like fucking horrible now.
I don't understand this team. You know, we have a point guard. Well, let's get two more. Well, none of them work, so let's trade them all. Well, we still need two more point guards, and let's give them all the money, and let's draft two players who play the same position. And
We got Alex Len, but we don't want to develop him, so let's sign Tyson Chandler. You know, things like that. And then who do they develop at the starting lineup because of the fact that they feel like going into tank mode early in the season? They bring in Marquise Chris, their rookie, and they start him literally almost the entire season.
And then, oh, well, he flashes potential. Yeah, but he also, you watch him, he doesn't know what he's doing on the court.
I mean, we're doing a lot of poo-pooing here, but, like, give me some of the good signs for Phoenix. Like, Eric Bledsoe did have a career year, so we got that one, right? TJ Warren, what do you think?
Would he develop? I don't know. Was he injured? Because at the end, they're playing Derek Jones Jr. starting at the three.
Yeah. Now the reason why I asked that is because he's a restricted free agent in 2018. Do you just go ahead? Is this an auto, like, you don't want an Otto Porter Jr. situation where you decide, you know what, it's not really worth the trouble. And then he blossoms in that last year of his contract. And now you're kind of stuck having to pay him. You know, do you think that could happen to McDonough?
Is he their starting three? No, I don't see him being the future of that team. You know, everything just has to revolve around Booker and his, you know, second year, you know, meteoric rise. Other than that, this team is just a big, you know, small fart noise.
I'll say this for Booker. I do think they have a potential superstar. Potential superstar, like a guy that will absolutely get max, because here, like we always say, the philosophy of max is not necessarily the fact that they're worth that much to your team. It's the idea of, from the outside perspective, of can this guy get the same amount of money or more from another team? And the answer for Devin Booker probably is yes. So in that with that philosophy, yes, Devin Booker's a max guy. You know, 21 points a game, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, gets to the free throw line a lot. He's a mid-range killer. Kind of reminds me of David West. But he's a guard instead of a power forward. Had the 70-point game in Boston. Just give me any memory about the 70. I know we talked about it on the show before, but give me any memory about the 70-point game since
it was just one of those bizarre situations. They were down, like, you know, 15, 20 the entire game. It was like one of those NCAA, let's cheer for the other, you know, we want him to get as high
like
as he
they turned
go.
Against the whole team.
They didn't turn against, it's just like, well, we know it's over. This is something that was just bizarre, and he's just sitting there hitting everything, and even the refs were into it. But yeah, this team, it just comes down to the way they're built is, what are they building? What are they, like you said, with Alex Len, well, you know, granted, he was injured a lot. Same thing happened to Dragan Bender. He, you know, had a foot injury and, you know, is slow development.
Bender struggled for sure, but he's so young. Like,
he's young now. They can't, you know, well, we're going to play them as, you know, they're both fours. Well, now they're going to try to play him sort of as a five. And, well, we were going to trade Tyson Chandler, but he said he wanted to stay and help this young team. Nobody was taking Tyson Chandler in his contract.
No. I do think they play their cards right with Jared Dudley. I think he's still fairly valuable. The times that I saw him on the court for Phoenix, he played well. You know, I thought that he actually didn't play enough. You know, Barbosa's a player option, which was fine. He wasn't really that valuable anyway. Tyler Ulis got a lot of play in the last month of the season. He was the rookie of the month in April in the West. Do you like Ulis kind of as a future point guard? He has really good
chemistry.
And that's
chemistry the problem is you have so much money given to Bledsoe and Knight.
They're going to get rid of Knight somehow in the summer. They're going to have to add something to it, but they're going to get rid of Brandon Knight. Knight doesn't want to be there anyway.
And then, well, why did you trade for him? And you already had Bledsoe. And why are you doing all these things that are so counterproductive to your team? What are you trying to develop? You, the only reason Earl Watson is your coach because you literally fired everyone else in the coaching staff because they were the problem last year.
You know what's brutal about Brandon Knight? They would have had that Lakers pick, but they traded it to Philadelphia to get Knight. So they would have had a potential of having a top three pick, you know, and they could have gotten like a Josh Jackson. Now they still might because they were so bad. And they had like a how magnificent of a tank job was this? Was this like
this was just despicable? Of you know we're not.
But despicable means like magnificent in terms of the tank ability, like the ability to tank.
No, that's just no. This is just the sad. You guys are doing it just so badly. Like a good tank job, like Dallas, or you know, just teams. Well, we know we're bad, so let's just play our young guys. This was all right. Eric Bledsoe, go home. Brandon Knight, go home. Oh, we're gonna, you know, like I said, let's play undrafted free agents for 30 minutes. Let's just start them. You know, Marquise, Chris, go out there, go do what you want. And with that should come player development. But did any of these players really get better throughout the season?
Booker did. And maybe Chris, maybe. You know, I don't know if Alex Len got better. Would you say so?
No, and that's the thing is, if you're putting these guys out there, they're supposed to develop. Look at Miami. They are wind up playing every year. They have to play D-League players at the end of the year. Oh, well, all of a sudden, they mysteriously get better. There's player development. We haven't seen Alex Len is still the, well, what do we know about him for 4 years? Well, he gets injured a lot, and well, can he play more than 25 minutes a game? What is he? Well, we'll develop him. Here's Tyson Chandler. Because we're going to get LaMarcus Aldridge because we got Chandler. And...
Okay, Tyson Chandler's contract goes to 2019, but that is a tradable contract because it's at $13 million a year. It's kind of like the same situation.
How is it tradable if he's...
Well, it's the same situation as Kenneth Faried's, but the thing is, Chandler still averaged 11 rebounds a game. So there might be some kind of playoff team, again, that convinces themselves, you know what, we need a good rebounder. But so if you're able to move that deal or move Knight's deal, would you keep Alex Len?
Well, yeah, it's going to be what the market determines. But Tyson Chandler is 34 years old, straight out of high school. The amount of mileage on him is, you know, what is he going to really give you anymore?
Yeah, the wheels haven't fallen off, but they're getting close to falling off. You know, but he's still maintaining those good rebounding numbers. But we know why. We've talked about this before where centers are at a point where they've kind of cornered the market on rebounds, where they're just gobbling them up. Games are playing faster. They just kind of sit in the block because they're slower and older. So some of these centers get really good rebounding numbers. But if you look at like the block percentage, the defensive efficiency, I mean, Chandler is just like he's disappeared. You know,
well, how many teams have crashed the boards anymore? How many? It's just, okay, let's just shoot a three and let's get back on defense.
Yes. Yes.
Nobody. So, of course, his numbers are going to be good because he's, you know, like I said, he's just, I'm going to sit in the
paint. We're in a league now where the tip back has become like a strategy. You know, like you have to do the tip back. You know, like that. Yeah. And that wasn't the way it was even 5 years ago. Like a tip back was kind of like a broken play. Now it's like designed. Like that's why everyone's on that. Everyone does like the five corners thing at the 3-point arc, like so that if you get the tip back, you get an extra possession and an offensive rebound. The offensive rebound, however, doesn't go to the center. I believe it goes to the guard or the forward that gathers the ball. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's all kind of nuanced that way. The free agency for the Suns is not really anything to talk about outside of Len's situation. You know, you got Barbosa, who we mentioned. They picked up Ronnie Price at the very end of the season because they needed a guard. We talked about trade scenarios involving Knight, involving Chandler. I don't think Bledsoe's going anywhere. Team-wise, they did play really, really fast, which a lot of those bad teams do. The Nets did it for sure. But they were number one in free throws made. You know, they crashed a lot. But I mean, there's so much room for improvement here. They were like second last in assists, last in points allowed, 28th in defensive efficiency. It's got to start with defense. Would you go after maybe one of those wing guys like Jason Tatum, Josh Jackson, somebody like that?
You stay away from Kentucky point guards.
Why? Well, yeah, by all means, they have too many of them.
Just stay away from him. Just you know you want him. Just be like, no, you can't have him.
I didn't have a song for him because I was lazy. Did you have one for Phoenix?
They need to just Jimmy Buffett, Margaritaville, just something to distract them from the where is this rebuild going?
Yeah.
Rebuilds have directions. It says, okay, what's your youth movement? Tyson Chandler and Jared Dudley is not a youth movement. All right, you gave away PJ Tucker because, well, you know, you weren't going to keep him anyways. And you got a pick for him. But what are you going to do with those picks? Are you just going to draft more power forwards and point guards?
I mean, and Earl Watson, I mean, he's proven nothing as a coach. In fact, he's probably proven that he's a terrible coach, you know.
Yeah, there's. I don't see much.
No one will ever forget the comment he made about, well, if you don't, about the 70-point game in the press conference. Like, if you don't like it, you need to stop it. It's like, well, they did stop you. They beat you by 20 points. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's great that he got 70 points, but the idea that, oh, we had this masterful game plan and you need to figure out how to adjust to us is like, no, you don't have to adjust to a team that's losing by 20 points. You've already won. You know, so maybe Earl's just trying to back up his guys, and that's why they gave him the job in the first place when he was the interim coach when Jeff Hornacek was let go, because he was more of like a player's coach, like he backs the players up. So
yeah,
let's go on to the last team for our playlist here, and that's going to be the Sacramento Kings, who were under their first year as a head coach for in Sacramento for Dave Joerger after he had gotten let go in Memphis. I don't know. Did it feel like they were getting a little better with DeMarcus Cousins, or it felt like more of the same?
I don't know, because there was part one and part two. They were doing okay, but the problem is there were so many bad teams who were really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Are you bad as in your team's not that good, or are you just, you know, slightly less sucky than everyone else? And, you know, Rudy Gay tearing his
Achilles. Yeah.
Achilles for the year. That essentially derailed anything that, because they tried, you know, let's get Ty Lawson, let's get Matt Barnes, okay, we're not good, but we're not out of the playoffs yet, we're sort of middling towards the bottom.
Missing Darren Collison for the start of the year due to the domestic violence issue kind of hurt them too. He came on though when he came in, you know, he was like, if you don't count Cousins and Gay, Collison was the only opening, you know, the only training camp starter that like was the leader in scoring on that team out after Gay and after Cousins.
He was, to be fair, everybody else is sort of either a center or just too young.
Yes. Very, very young team now for sure. Then there's the Kings after the DeMarcus Cousins trade. Now I'm going to tell you the truth. I felt like the Kings got a little bit better when Cousins left.
Well, it opened up a lot because, well, where's Cauley Stein playing? Well, he wasn't playing because you have, Kostakoufos.
Kostakoufos, yeah.
Kufos and Cousins are getting all the minutes. You have Gay, you know, he could slide to a four if you wanted to play big, and Aflalo and Lawson were there. So, you know, Buddy Hield played better now that he had more minutes expanded
to him, which made the numbers look better. But it wasn't a Marquise Chris situation. Like, he earned his minutes.
So. Yeah, and that comes down in New Orleans. Well, if he wasn't playing in New Orleans, well, he could play. Well, yeah, well, now he's shooting, and he's shooting kind of, you know, kind of well, and he's given numbers we expected him to in New Orleans. And Scalabissier, oh, well, this is the player we saw out of high school.
Yeah, he had one tremendous game where he had, like, I think 30 points and, like, 12 rebounds maybe. It was like there was one game with Scalabissier where you were like, oh, wow, that's pretty good, you know?
Yeah, you know, Georges Papagiannis. Oh, well, you know, he's 19 and he needed to get fit. And, oh, well, you know, there's a couple double-doubles he put back-to-back. Well, that's not too shabby. And then it's just, oh, here's Ben McLemore, big fart sound.
Now, he started late but in the season, but, I mean, Ben McLemore, I think he'll wind up on another team. I don't think his
he has really no value, and the fact that there was that rumored first-round pick for him at the beginning of the season because he had put it all together, and then, he was at the end, and just he's a, you know, as of now, sort of a draft disappointment, and Aflalo his contract. He's only
it's non guaranteed. Yeah, they don't want him. They can just let him go if they feel like. I think they're going to wind up keeping him anyway.
I don't think. I think that's just wasted money. And
now, what did you think of the Garrett Temple experiment at point guard? They had some bright spots where it seemed like his length was giving some of the point guards problems, and he's good defensively. But do you think that can work for an entire season?
He's good, but he's just nothing special. He's just a backup. And, you know, as much as you want to say about Vlade, he didn't give out terrible four-year, you know, Luol Deng or Omar Asik. Or, you know, Evan Turner deals.
But there was the Philly trade with the pick swaps that might still come back to haunt them if they're terrible 2 or 3 years from now.
Well, yes, there was that panic trade, but Stauskas hasn't panned out there either.
No, but you still gave up those trade spots, those drafts.
Yeah, you gave up those draft picks and trade spots, but it would be even worse of, you know, like Nurkic. We're going to get rid of you, and here's a pick. Oh, wait, this guy is now that missing piece that team needed. Oh, crap.
Yes. Now, how about Tyreke Evans? You know what? Here's a better way to do it. Let's go through all the free agents. Because there's a ton here for the Kings. As much change as we saw from Sacramento after the DeMarcus Cousins trade, we're going to see even more this summer. Rudy Gay's player option at $14 million. Does he decline it?
No, he's going to stay in because I don't, you know.
Now, he said in the summer that he was going to opt out.
Yeah, and then after he got injured, he's like, you know what, I'm gonna review my options now. Because is there a team who's going to give him 3 years at 15 per?
Well, we already saw this. We've seen this with many, many players. You know, Wes Matthews, even Kobe Bryant to a degree. A torn Achilles is a real killer for any player. It's almost. I don't want to say it's impossible to come back from, but basketball wise, it's like the worst injury outside of a torn ACL or a broken foot.
Yeah, especially because it's just, you know, if your player is relying on athleticism, then your thing is shot, and you need to become a jump shooter. And if you were a poor shooter beforehand, well, you're kind of screwed.
Darren Collison, unrestricted free agent.
I think they're going to move on from him because, you know, if they're preaching, you know, we're going to go for culture change. Well, you can't have
a guy with legal trouble and
questionable. Yeah. Yeah, same with Ty Lawson. And
yeah, well, Lawson did have that triple double in the junk month. In April. So, I mean, he seemed to be playing a little bit better is the best way to put it. You know, but they had him for nothing. You know, they don't have to keep him. Aaron Aflalo, you said that he's probably gone. I think they'll keep him. You know,
he's gone because you got Buddy Hield and you got Malachi Richardson who was injured this year, and you could bring in other cheaper players.
Macklemore, we both said – I think we both are convinced he's probably going to be gone. Langston Galloway, I'd probably pick up that player option at $5 million. Like, I don't think he'll get more than that, and I think he did okay in Sacramento as like a backup point guard.
As a backup point guard, it's a cheap contract.
And he's
it's
a good shooter.
Million.
He's a good three-point shooter too, which helps him out a lot.
But, you know, they are in position to blow up their team and sort of start over. And, you know, they made I can't think of his name now, but they got the, you know, the assistant GM from Orlando.
I'm trying to remember what the name of that guy is, and I can't.
They just literally got him. And
the one who was supposed to be the interim GM when Rob Hennigan was fired?
Yes.
So wait a minute. So the GM, because I'm just picking this up as she's telling it to me. So the guy that was supposed to replace Rob Hennigan in Orlando is now just flew the coup to go to Sacramento.
Yeah, Scott Perry is joining Sacramento, and
oh, I can't wait! Orlando in a couple weeks. we're gonna have a whole playlist just for them. Speaking of which, do you have a song here for the Sacramento Kings?
Sacramento, it's gonna have to be. This was the easiest one for me to pick. It was Van Halen with the Sammy Hagar years, because your big show is now gone, and you need to now maintain something with a new.
I know this will get a lot of haters from some of the music. The two or three of music aficionados who actually listen to the NBA team podcast. And for all of our listeners, thanks for listening to the entire show. If you're this far already, I like the Hagar Van Halen better than the David Lee Roth one. I always did.
It's one of those you can make an argument for it. Like, you know, Roth is more popular, but you still had success. They didn't completely nosedive.
Yeah, it's like the whole, like, for the wrestling fans here that listen, who there are probably a few. Like, it's like the Midnight Express. They had Bobby Eaton and Dennis Corddry, and then they had Bobby Eaton and Stan Lane, and they were both really good, but they were different. You know, but it was the same team. You know, it felt like, you know, some people feel like, oh, you got to like one or you got to like the other. It's like, no, it's okay to like both, you know.
You could have gone with the New Rockers with...
Leaf Cassidy and Marty Jannetty. Or like Terminator and Terminator 2. It's like, oh, well, one's got Edward Furlong. I don't like him. He's a little punk. I'm like, no, Terminator 2 is really good too. It's okay to like them both. You know, but like, so David Lee Roth has got to be Boogie. I mean, this is a really, really good analogy, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And then Sammy Hagar, who's the Hagar? I mean, Hagar was kind of a strong lead too. Like, he was a guy that wanted his way too when he was like,
maybe he's Buddy Hield. Maybe he's not on the roster yet. We don't know.
So, we talked about this too. Their draft situation is very, very tenuous. Like, they might get the Pelicans pick, but because Vlade Divac is like the dumbest GM ever, he was not able to get an unprotected first round pick for his superstar center. Somehow it was protected top three. We have the Philly thing that hangs over their heads, just in the very, very small possibility that the Kings get the top pick and Philly can swap it. And I think there was a situation with the Bulls from a very convoluted trade that started back in 2011 where if they're out of the top 10, they lose their pick to the Bulls.
If they're out of the top 10, they give it to Chicago. If they are in the top 10, they just give them a second round pick.
Yes.
And, you know, like I said, you want to say how bad Vlade is. We just mentioned McDonough and Hennigan we mentioned and Del Demps.
Well,
up
Hennigan's
there.
Not
so
GM anymore. He's gone. It's like,
it's one of those, there's competition for... Mm-hmm. For just being really bad. And, you know, like I said, I wanted to try to be positive. Those free agent deals were only 2 or 3 year deals. So he wasn't locking this team in just a bad, you know, really bad, ugly future. So,
and I can't even look at the team stats because I know this is all going to get blown up when they rechange the roster, because halfway through it just seemed like, you know, their offense was bad, their rebounding was bad, and it's like, well, your rebounding might get even worse without Boogie for a full season. You know, it's hard to say anything.
It's hard to put a, you know, two halves of a completely different.
It's not like Brooklyn. Style. It's not like Brooklyn, where Brooklyn was like basically an expansion team with a couple of experienced players. Like Sacramento is almost like a total reboot. It's like a total reboot, you know.
Yep, and it's, you know, a good thing to start the reboot as opposed to sort of half-heartedly going in or partially trying to do it. Just blow up your team and, you know, find your players to build around.
Yeah, and so what's, you said Van Halen, huh? What's your favorite Van Halen song?
Let's go with Jump.
Jump. But does that mean that the Eddie David one was your favorite one? Like your favorite version?
No, okay. Or we could just go with we'll go with
Right Now. Right
Now for the Hagar.
Right Now is a tremendous song.
So, you know, I'll pick one for and Gary Cherone. Well, nobody.
I don't even know who Gary Cherone is. Like, was that late 90s or is that 2000s?
That was when Hagar was gone. They brought Cherone in for one or two albums, and then they just brought David Lee Roth back.
Maybe Eddie was the ego behind it all. You know, I mean, maybe David Lee Roth gets the bad rap like Boogie does, and there was something even deeper that was wrong with Sacramento. We don't even know it yet.
Well, yeah.
I don't think that's the case, but that's just me being hopeful that the Pelicans win out on this deal, and I don't think we will.
Well, the difference between basketball and music is if you can't go on a 6-week tour with somebody and just be on stage with them, you really need to see them for what, 3-4 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could take a year off, we could record an album, you don't need to be in the same room when you're recording. If you can't be around somebody for the short amount of time it is just to be a musician on tour, you know, you got problems.
You don't even have to collaborate with a person anymore. It's all like they got that guy, what's his name, Mark Ronson? Like, Bruno Mars sings Uptown Funk. He sings like the entire song. But the credit goes to Mark Ronson. Why? Oh, he produced it. What the fuck do you mean? Like, he wrote the lyrics. That's great. That's what a songwriter does. You're not the singer. Bruno Mars sang the song. You know, it's, I don't understand collaborations anymore in these days.
Well, then that's like saying the Daft Punk song is just a Pharrell Williams song,
yeah,
and not Daft Punk.
I know what you're saying. Yeah. It's a
DJs don't sing.
Yeah.
So it's one
who's
of those
the really,
featuring.
Who's the one that dated Taylor Swift, the DJ? I'm forgetting his name. He's a really famous DJ. And he's done tons and tons of songs. The Rihanna song, Fell in Love in a Broken Place, is his song. Like, I mean, DJ is the way to go. Like, people literally go to concerts and they get loaded
just to hear,
just to listen to fucking
button.
People play a button on a DJ table, and they go, thousands of people go to watch them. That's what half of Coachella is. let's talk about these teams in the order to finish up, because we're going long here. And let's just go based on potential, but we'll go from the worst to the best. Give me the team that you're the lowest on among the seven that we talked about.
It has to be Phoenix.
Phoenix, just absolute the lowest. I would say the Kings. I would say the Kings. I don't think they have any hope, and I don't like their draft situation at all in the future. I think it's really derailed them. I did like the team more than Boogie, though. You know, my pick was actually I forgot to mention it. 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. Was mine for the Kings, because I mean, they still got a whole lot of problems, but the biggest problem that they had is gone. But so you like the Suns worse, but who goes after
the Suns are worse than Kings.
Than the Kings. Slip. I would probably say the Suns after that. Lakers next.
New Orleans. I'd put next, then Lakers.
Why are you more down on the Pelicans than the Lakers? Because the Lakers have
Pelicans don't have cap room.
Okay.
They have nobody. They can't re-sign anybody because you have so many toxic contracts that are just dragging that team down.
After that, we've got left the Nuggets, the Mavericks, and the Timberwolves, because we're in agreement there, because I would have the Pelicans below Dallas. I mean, you know, I can convince myself, you know, unfair, you know, selfishly, to put the Pelicans above the Mavericks, because if it really works out and Boogie re-signs with the Pelicans, then you got a really good team on your hands. But I don't know. There's just too many questions there. Which with Dallas, there's really not as many questions. They just have to get better is all, you know?
I would say the Lakers, then Dallas, because Dallas is on a two-year plan. Mm-hmm. Then Minnesota, and obviously Denver is not – they shouldn't even be on this list.
Still put Minnesota ahead of Denver, because Towns is just better than any player Nuggets have. That's just my – differentiate,
but you have no bench, and now you're going to start having to give out max deals, and your cap space is going to get eaten up so quickly.
You can wait till 2019 to give him the max, I believe, right? Like, that's how long his contract goes.
Yep, you have time to put pieces around him, whereas Minnesota, you have to pay people tomorrow.
And but the one thing I'll be fearful for with the Nuggets is this idea of, oh, we got Jokic, who's really good, Harris is getting better, Jamal Murray's good, oh, we can just let Danilo Gallinari go, and it's not going to be a real big deal, and it really might be a big deal. Like, maybe
Oh, it is going to be a big deal when he – because somebody's going to max him out.
Yeah, oh, I think he's gone. I think Gallo's played his last game as a Denver Nugget. You know, we'll talk about it as we go to, because the next show we'll probably do is another playoff preview as the first round. We didn't talk about it at all. You know, this show is obviously going to be coming out probably later than where we're at in the playoff schedule. But like, what have you seen? Have you seen anything weird?
We're just focusing on bad teams right now.
Oh, so you're not focusing on any, like, the Giannis? Let's
just playoff talk is playoff talk.
I just got to find a way to talk about Giannis. That's my dude. He is like busting out.
But you wouldn't put him for the most improved.
Well, Jokic got better the quickest.
Have you seen
Jokic got better
Giannis,
the
what he's
quickest?
Done?
Like, he literally became one of the best players in the NBA within a month.
Well, we'll wait till the award show and we'll see.
Oh, you mean the award show on like August the 12th? On TNT. Do you like that? I mean, do you like the fact that they're batching it all together? Like,
no,
NFL
but
honors?
That's the way other sports
and you
are
know
going.
What started this? You know what started this? The WWE Hall of Fame. They ripped off the WWE Hall of Fame. They were like, we need to find a way to batch our honor show with our biggest, like, with our most.
No, it's the same thing as college football award show. NASCAR has an award show in Vegas.
Yeah, but
it just said the, you know.
Because the Heisman Trophy is in November or early December before the bowl games are played. So they're still kind of old fashioned.
It's just a way of let's let's we can market this. We can make money as opposed to just releasing a press release.
I get you. All right, and so anything you want to talk about here is until we get to the East teams that didn't make the playoffs for our next playlist. Any other songs?
Nope. We're good. Let's enjoy some playoff good basketball. And,
well, that's your the good basketball, but we'll.
Okay, fine. Watch old Phoenix.
Watch old
and Sacramento. And
just go on YouTube. Find the Devin. Just watch it. And see if your soul slowly dies away. On behalf of that.